So imagine if you could create a side hustle that would actually make you more employable and actually give you more assets you could use in your full-time job. I think that that would be the perfect side hustle. So then you're not just developing your side hustle skills, you're also developing your job prospect skills.
Welcome to Quarter Life Hack, a podcast created for millennials by millennials. We'll be discussing relatable topics to empower and hack your quarter life journey. So stay tuned while we share and you learn. All right, welcome back to Quarter Life Hack. This is Nicholas. And this is Nikki. Today we have a special guest with us. She is a YouTuber. She has a YouTube channel called Invest with Queenie. And as the name suggests, it's about investing, personal finance for us millennials. So let's welcome Queenie. Thanks for having us here.
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I'm so excited to, I guess, answer some questions and just get to know you guys a bit better. So thank you.
Thank you for
recording with us. So in this episode, I actually want to discuss passive income. See, it's something that I've actually taught a lot myself personally. Mm-hmm. And I used to always think about fancy startup ideas, fancy business ideas. But passive income is actually something that just got into me. And when I saw your video about passive income, about how you actually make $800 a week, that's a lot for passive income. So, and then I was like, man, I got to reach out. And that's why we are here. So I want to discuss a bit more about this passive income. And hopefully by the end of this episode, we can have a better understanding on how to set up a passive income for ourselves mm-hmm. and manage the passive income. So as a start, Queenie, can you maybe define what is passive income?
Yeah, absolutely. So passive income, I think there is a little bit of a misconception with passive income because like the name suggests that you just don't do anything and you just get money. But actually, it's a lot more difficult because you do need to do a lot more work at the beginning in order to build up your passive income streams mm-hmm. until yep. you can start making passive income. So at the beginning, lots of work, more work than opposed to, I guess, like having a regular job and earning an income from that. There's a lot more work at the beginning, but then once you have it all set up, then basically it just makes money on its own without you having to put like hours into it, if that makes sense.
Okay. So there's like the initial investment where you need to put in the work and then somehow you reap the benefit
later.
Later, time with time.
And then you don't have to put in as much effort, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's where I get the word passive means, isn't it?
Exactly. So it's one of those things that instead of trading, say, for example, if you have a job, you're trading, I'll give you 5 hours for X amount. Mm. With passive income, it doesn't really work like that. It's almost like you've done the work at the beginning and you still need to do work to maintain it. But how many hours you work on it, how much money you can earn from it doesn't depend on how many hours you work on it for.
Right.
I see.
Okay. Can you maybe give a bit of examples on the passive incomes and maybe your own personal experience on how you make that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that one of my favorite passive income streams comes through affiliate marketing because I do marketing myself and I have clients on board. And I think that if you want to get started with passive investing, affiliate marketing is probably the easiest and best way to do it, in my opinion. So the way that it works is, say, for example, I myself do marketing for clients and there are a few softwares that I recommend to my clients to use, for example, landing page software and things like that. And there are some landing page software which do offer you a commission if you do bring a client on board to start using the software. And basically, when you do bring somebody else on board and they use your referral code or the referral link, they don't get charged anything extra, but basically you get an income every single month from that piece of software that your client is using. So that's one of my favorite ways. If you have a freelance gig or if you're doing anything freelance, maybe check out some software that you already use and recommend to clients. see if you can start making some passive income from it. Yeah.
So if I want to set up an affiliate marketing channel, so you just have to just search the software, or in this case it's the software or anything that you pretty much want to market, and then just search on the affiliate marketing, and usually there's like this referral code for yourself, and that should be an easy process, is it?
Yeah, exactly. It's so easy to set up. You just send them like a special link and get them to sign up. And some of them have really big commissions. For example, the landing page software that I use, it's called Instapage, and that gives you at least like $100 or so per month, which is quite a lot. Yeah, without having to do much. Yeah.
Instapage.
Instapage. It's a landing page software. So it makes it really easy to build like really beautiful templates and pages. Yeah.
Okay. I think maybe the biggest question was actually, how do you actually find someone to click on your link? That's like the golden question, is it?
Yeah.
The $1 million question.
Well, I already do have clients that I work with. So I already do have that trust with them. And obviously, I'm not trying to sell them straight away. And I only do recommend it if I really do believe that it's valuable to their business. But I think that's where it works. So if you have existing clients already, people that you work with, if you can recommend software to them, even better.
Okay. And how do you actually build that client base? Was it in a thought of mind where you want to actually make passive income? Is that why you find clients and then you build your trust with them?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things I never really began seeking out clients per se. Most of my clients have come through referrals and friends and people that I've worked with, which have a friend who needs marketing, and that's basically how all of my clients have come. And I think that that's a thing that I've learned along the years when it comes to business and making money and investing in things like that. It's all about who you know. And I think that if you can treat people really well and they have a really good impression of you, then good things happen, you know, like people remember that. And if they think of you, if somebody needs help with something, they'll think of you and they'd be happy to refer you. So that's one of my beliefs. I think you just have to be nice to people.
Yeah. That's a good belief.
I'm actually just curious in terms of at the starting, like what actually makes you want to start the passive income, or like when do you actually hear about passive income and actually really want to do about it? Is it start with investment or is it start with affiliate marketing? Can you perhaps just share a bit of that?
Yeah, I think honestly it was never really a conscious thing, and I've been doing it for a while, and I only recently realized that that's what passive income is, and it's actually like a whole thing. So I was like, I didn't realize that that's what I was already doing. I've always been curious about how can I get the maximum amount of, I guess, income and return on investment for my time, because I think after working full time for quite a while, obviously we're all young getting into the full time jobs. It's one of those things, it's like I don't really want to be doing this forever, or I feel like maybe I'll just get burnt out one day. So it was always on my mind that I wanted to start splitting up my income sources, finding extra ways to earn money. So then maybe I wouldn't be so reliant on just one source of income and one job.
Yes, so true. So true. Yeah. Yes. And I think that's also the main reason why we both are like a bit more into like passive incomes, and how we did like our first passive income is perhaps like investments and stocks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we hear a lot of like, investing, and we're like, okay, and you know, maybe we should really start investing in something. And I think investment is definitely one source of passive income, right? And I think the whole point of passive income is so that it can help you to generate income for you without really having you to do much of the work, kind of thing. Yeah. Like you're not trading time for money in some ways, but you're like kind of churning the money on its own. But of course, there's some setting up to it, and of course, some research to it prior. I think just curious also, like what's the first thing that you previously done that you don't really know what that it was a passive income? Was it investment also, or what was that?
Ooh. I think, I also do investing as well. So that's something that I've been doing for about 4 years now.
And nice, I see.
I think that probably was one of my first. I started investing in this robot advisor, and basically yes. what you do is you put in some money and they diversify your investments for you automatically and without having to think too much. And I was just obsessed, like watching my money turn into more money. And I was like, "Whoa, this is so cool. I didn't know this. I didn't think it would work." And then from there, I just decided to learn more about it. I realized that I could make better returns by investing in some businesses over others and some shares over others, because with my robot advisor, it was 70% in ETFs. And the 30% was in gold and bonds, which didn't give a great return on investment compared to the ETFs. So, so interesting. There's so many different ways to make money in this world.
Yeah. It's actually very interesting, because we're just starting into like all these. We just finished graduated, right? So before that, I don't think we really think a lot about money, to be honest. I mean, we're just talking about like part-time job, full-time job, and that was it.
Yeah. Right?
And then we know about like this other source of income as a passive income. And I don't know, for me, I personally think that, wow, so this is actually how rich people get rich, is it?
Yeah, exactly. So it makes sense.
You don't just have one source.
Yeah.
You have multiple sources of investment and like, okay, now it makes more sense.
Now it makes more sense. I was just wondering, because it's so funny. You look at these people earning billions of dollars and you're like, how? They have 24 hours in the day just like I do. How did they make so much money, you know? So, that's how you do it. And sometimes it's just you have to start small. Like you can't expect to make that much money straight away. But if you're consistent, I think it can really, it really pays off later on down the line.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Nice.
Yeah. Actually, one thing that I want to share as well, that when I actually was about to get into passive income, I was actually watching a video. This is actually from a guy called Ali Abdal. I'm not sure that you've heard about it, but he's actually a junior doctor in UK, right? And he has a YouTube channel. He has a podcast as well. He has multiple streams of income. He even has an online course that was also part of his passive income
Through Skillshare.
Yeah, through Skillshare, which sadly is not sponsoring, but it's okay. We'll just see for sure. But anyways, so one time he was sharing about his passive income journey. I think like the same way as you did when you are sharing your passive income ways, and then. He said that he actually asked a lot of his doctors, his colleagues pretty much. For the past 3 years, he has been asking all of his colleagues or any doctors that he has actually met that, what will you do if you actually win a lottery right now? And his answer was that, and a lot of people, like 50% of them, would say that he will actually do the doctor as a part-time job. That, which means that they don't really want to do this as a full-time job, but they have to do it because it actually is the one that fits their family, right? Fits their lifestyle as well. And most of the 50% would actually quit their job.
Wow.
Some, even one doctor even said that they will actually leave the operating room in the middle of the operation.
Wow. Which,
and none of them, he said none of them in the past 3 years have said that they will actually stay in the job.
Wow.
Right, and which shows that they actually stay in the job for the sole purpose of actually just to feed. So they are in some sense like they have to do it because they have to do it because they have a family to feed.
Yeah,
and that wakes him up that like, you know what, like I want to develop this passive income because I do not want to be in a position where I'm working for the sake of working.
Yeah.
For the sake of just, you know, getting the money. And right now, because he has his whole passive income, his passive income's earning him twice as much as his junior doctor salary.
Wow.
And just having a mindset shift that right now he can actually quit his job and still live and still like feed his lifestyle actually changes his perspective on his work. So now he knows that he's not working because he's tied to the work. His perspective is, I'm working because I want to.
Yeah.
And I think that makes him actually work happier in the workforce as well. And I was like, actually, that's a very good mindset to have, you know. Sometimes we, I mean, to be honest, right now we're just out of graduation. That's what you said. We
you know, we only think about what's the next job, what's the active job that we want to get next, what's the next position we want, what's the next company we want to get. But we seldom think about this passive income, which actually can be very crucial to and play maybe even play a part to our active income as well.
On the mindset. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's actually one of the biggest reasons why I now am showing more interest in the passive income. As much as to get more financially free. And also, you know what, maybe I can, I don't have to work the full time every time, right? I can have a mini holidays all the time. I don't have to work until I'm 60 and then enjoy my life. I can actually have mini retirements here and there.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
It's so true. And I think it's some good things happen when you're working on things that you actually love and you're passionate about.
Yeah.
Like even what you're doing with your podcast, even though I'm sure it's maybe not generating that much passive income yet, but just being able to see that you're on a journey and you're on that path, it's nice.
Yeah.
And same thing with my YouTube channel, not making any money from it yet, but I just enjoy it. And it's nice, like, at least knowing that you are trying to work towards something for your future and doing something that you're passionate about, because we're doing it for free. Like, that's how passionate we are about it.
Yes.
You know, like, what other jobs would you do for free? You know, like, not many.
Yeah. And that's actually interesting, because it seems that some of the things that we might do is actually, you might say that, oh, some of it could be because I want to build a passive income. But to some extent, we actually also enjoy doing it. So we are not doing it just for the sake of the money and so on.
Yeah.
Right? We kind of enjoy it. We enjoy the process. We enjoy the learning process to it. So yeah, it's actually, I think passive income could have been like just a side benefit to it, like some of the big projects that you love to do.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
It's kind of like just rewarding, a reward for you doing a good job.
Yeah,
that's so
true.
How you get passive. Yeah.
Okay, I think so. And just meeting you guys as well, like meeting other like-minded people in the space. I don't think it ever would have happened if we weren't doing, you know, our journeys, like with your podcast or my YouTube.
Exactly.
And that's so cool to meet like-minded people.
That's true. That's so true. But I think the challenge with passive income is some people do know about passive income, do know about investing, do know about how to, wanting to create this passive income. But the problem is starting it, like to actually start something, to actually start investing, to actually start maybe even a YouTube channel or any sort of passive income, affiliated marketing, is something that maybe I still wouldn't do it, even knowing what are the benefits of having a passive income. What do you think of, why do you think people have this kind of mindset or perspectives to this?
Yeah, that's so true. I think starting is the hardest part. And I think starting, the way that I see it is, so part of me is a bit embarrassed and scared of starting, because I'm like, you know, what if I'm embarrassed and people make fun of me and it's a big failure? And that's definitely in the back of my mind. But then there's this other part of me which is just like, why not? You know, like you only live once, like they say. And wouldn't you rather at least give something a go than being old, looking back at your life thinking, oh, I was really passionate about that, why didn't I try it, or something like that? I'd rather live my life trying something and it failing than not trying at all. So that's the way that I see it. And that definitely outweighs the fear of failure, I guess. What about you guys?
No, I actually highly agree. As I actually mentioned with you as well offline, that I was actually starting off this YouTube channel, and that is actually one of my biggest fear, which is that fear of judgment as well.
Yeah, like, people, you know, are mean on the internet.
have you actually experienced those mean comments? Like,
oh yeah, all the time. But
oh my god!
Sometimes I'm like, it's just some people that do it. Most of the people that do it, it's not constructive at all. If they're saying something about what I'm saying or the content, then I would be like, oh, okay, I understand. But most of the time, they're just like, your voice is annoying and you're too young and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, actually. So it happens to everyone, I think, you know.
Okay.
So honestly, just take it with a grain of salt. If they're not saying anything about your content, just don't listen to them, you know.
Just take it with a grain of salt. All right, that's a good tip.
Yeah.
Because I'm honestly like, I'm already like a bit nervous on posting it to public. And firstly, like our friends and family is going to know about that. You're going to like so excited and they're going to look and then, oh my God, it's so a bit embarrassing as well.
It's embarrassing. Just, yeah. What if it's just no one watches it and
it's embarrassing.
And they will start making fun of you now.
I know. Crazy. But I like how you actually overcome that. Because I feel like, have you heard of the quote by Nelson Mandela, where, you know, courage is not the absence of fear, but to triumph over it, right?
Yes, I love that quote. So true.
It's such an amazing quote. Mm. And I feel it's actually very similar to like when we want to pursue something, even passive income or even our own personal hustle. Mm. You know, when you do YouTube, when we always have a lot of excuses in our head, right? Mm. So I feel like action is not about the absence of excuses, but to actually conquer it.
Yeah.
Like what you did, you know, you actually conquer your excuses of being, of fear of failure, fear of judgment.
Mm. Yeah. And
I find that, yeah, that is actually something that makes sort of motivates me a bit to start like
and same with you when starting your podcast. It's not easy, you know, it's scary. It is scary. I feel
it is scary. It is scary. Yeah. I gotta say, yes, especially during the launch and all that, like it's our first time doing this as well, like this is our first, I would say, personal hustle.
Yeah,
and we take it very seriously.
But you're doing a great job. You can really see your passion for it. And yeah.
Thank you.
And you're meeting lots of cool people, which is great. Expanding your network.
Thank you. Thank you. By the way, I also want to touch on a few of the other ways that you actually mentioned on your passive income.
Yeah.
So you mentioned about affiliate marketing, right? Mm-hmm. Could you maybe share a few more that you actually have passive incomes, the ways to do that?
Yeah, sure. So I think my other favorite, and the reason why I didn't mention this one at the beginning was because this one takes a lot more work than just affiliate marketing. It's more than sending your client a link to sign up for a landing page. This is a lot more work, but it's starting an e-commerce business. So I sell false eyelashes online. Mm. So these ones, they're strip lashes, and basically it's like an e-commerce business. I ship off the lashes and people buy them on the internet. And this one is a little bit more challenging because I had to set up a website. So you need to learn how to build a website. It does take a bit more capital to start up because you have to buy the products, you have to get the branding done and logo and packaging. And it is a lot more work at the beginning, definitely. Yep. E-commerce is not an easy thing to do, and it's not an easy passive income stream to build, but it is very rewarding. And you'd learn so many things about how the world works and how customers shop. And I think it's a really good insight into, if you want to build a shop, it's really good insight into that. I also tried a drop shipping store, but that didn't really work out. The e-commerce business did a lot better. So I just went with that one. And I think the reason why the drop shipping one didn't work as well is because when you compare it to my eyelashes business, I really tried to perfect everything in the experience. So I have really nice packaging. I put a lot of effort into it. I have really fast shipping times, only like 1 to 2 days between when people receive their orders. And the price is very competitive, whereas with the drop shipping site, it was, you know, integrated with AliExpress. And when somebody purchases something from my website, it would just buy it from AliExpress and send it to them. So the experience wasn't as nice. The shipping time was way longer. There was no packaging. There was no thank you card. It comes in a crumpled envelope from China and with no branding. Obviously people didn't repurchase. So whereas with the eyelashes business, because I put so much effort into everything, I have a lot of repeat customers, lots of people saying good things about the business and purchasing again.
Oh, that's nice. Because actually, you know, e-commerce is actually something that is hugely popular. I think people a lot of times, you know, especially because we can actually get a lot of products from China and all that. How do you actually set it up? Like, okay, you have a website and then you buy goods probably overseas, am I right? And then you ship it. So you have your own stock and then you kind of rebranded it as your own.
Yeah.
Is that right? And then you actually
and then you have to market it, and then you have to actually compete with so many e-commerce stores out there.
Yeah.
So how do you actually, like, first, how do you get the idea of it? And then how did your journey go along the way when you actually set up this e-commerce thing?
Yeah, I've learned so many things from setting it up. So at the beginning, I've always used to buy like eyelashes online, and I'm one of those people, I don't spend a lot of money on makeup and things like that. And my boyfriend actually noticed, he's like, oh, you're buying these eyelashes quite a lot. And I said, yeah, but I can't find anywhere that's cheap and that's good. So then he was like, maybe we should have a think about starting it. And I was like, yeah. So we found a supplier in Hong Kong. We ordered some samples and we found one that we really liked. Once we found the supplier, we started getting the packaging designed and everything, setting up the website, and then just started selling. And one of the biggest lessons that I learned was pricing is so important.
Yep.
So at the beginning, I put the eyelashes as the same price as you would buy a pair of eyelashes in Sephora. And so I just did that, and I didn't get that many sales, even though I spent quite a lot of money on marketing. And obviously I'm in a marketing background. I know how to do Facebook, Instagram ads, Google ads. And I was just wondering, like, why isn't it working? Why aren't I getting that many sales?
Yeah.
And then one day we just said, maybe we should just reduce the price of our eyelashes and see what happens. So we reduced it from $18 to $9.90. And then just like that, like triple the sales that we had before. And sometimes it's one of those things, you just need to try different things. Like maybe it's not what you think it is. So people would see those numbers and would assume, oh, the marketing's wrong or something like that. But then maybe it's the pricing. Maybe it's a lot of things. So it's always having that critical mindset, thinking maybe it's something else, thinking a bit outside the box. And
Oh, wow. And you're still earning with the $9, am I right?
Yeah, I am. So it's not as big of a profit margin, but the good thing is people are more likely to purchase. The conversion rate on the website went up like threefold. So we don't even need as many people coming to the website to purchase things. So you don't need to spend that much money on Facebook ads, which actually is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
Yeah.
That is actually a good, because you mentioned you dropped your price by half. Am I right? That's half price. But then your volume actually increased 3 times. So technically you're actually earning. You actually have a marginal gain from that.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Okay. So you started off with having a problem of your own, and you see whether, you know what, let's see if I can actually set up your own mini business on it. And then you actually sell it, and then you actually have a website for it.
Yeah.
What would be the difference if I were to set up a website or maybe selling it on eBay or Amazon? Would that be, have you considered that maybe?
Yeah, definitely. There's so much competition when it comes to makeup products and things like that. And I think that if I was starting an e-commerce shop, because I've learned so many things with this industry, probably makeup's not the best one to go down. It's a bit like skincare. You've got so many players in the market that spend so much money on advertising. It can be difficult to compete, but I think that the reason why we try to have a differentiator is they're much cheaper than the competition. So whereas Sephora are selling them for $18, ours are only $9.90 and really good quality. And also it's an Australian business, so it doesn't take that long to ship out the products. There's nice packaging, which people do like. They like sharing that on their social media sites and things like that. Whereas if you were to buy something on eBay or Amazon, it just usually comes in something plain with no branding. And especially when you're buying makeup products, people do care about the packaging and how things look.
True.
Mm-hmm. So that's another differentiator.
I see.
Wow.
And I guess when you're actually marketing this, you're going through like the Google Ads and Facebook, and these skills is perhaps something that you previously have learned before in your jobs. But for people who actually want to start marketing their websites and all that, how do you recommend people to learn to market it to Facebook?
Yeah. So the way that it works, so basically Google Ads, I usually do that as an acquisition, so to acquire new customers. So what I'll do is I'll set up ads for false eyelashes, silk eyelashes, whatever the keywords are, because those are people literally on Google looking for false eyelashes. So it's a great place to get in front of potential buyers. Google ads are a bit more expensive. The cost per click can be a bit more expensive, but the quality of the traffic, because they're literally looking to buy something right now, I think it's more valuable to pay a little bit more to have someone. Whereas Facebook is a bit, Facebook and Instagram, people are just on their feeds. They're not looking to buy something. They're not looking to buy eyelashes. So that's why I don't really use Facebook and Instagram for that purpose of acquiring new customers. I use it for remarketing. So if somebody visits the website, maybe they got distracted, maybe they leave, I'll retarget them with an ad saying, hey, get 10% off if you buy now. Here's the code. And they tend to work a lot better because they've already visited the website. They're obviously interested in buying some. Maybe they just forgot. So retargeting them on Facebook and Instagram works so much better than trying to, you know, you're like a brand new business. They've never heard of you before. They're not interested in buying eyelashes, but you're trying to get them to buy your eyelashes. I find that, those ones didn't work as well for me.
I see. Nice. And I'm also assuming that you have actually recouped all your investment, you know, because you have quite a, you mentioned earlier that you need a bigger capital to set up the website. And I'm assuming that you have been running this for quite a while, that you have actually recouped and also make profit from that. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So the good thing about it is, we have recouped our investment and we are like, now anything that we make now is, I guess, a bit of like extra income on top of that. And the good thing is we have everything already set up. We don't actually need to optimize anything. It just, we have customers returning each month. Or makeup artists and things like that that need quite a lot of eyelashes. So it's really good.
I see. I guess this is the true definition of passive income, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess you can say the ultimate outcome that you kind of want to achieve in passive income is that you don't want to actually put as much effort for the dollar that you're making.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you've previously done that in at the beginning.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Wow. Okay. So I think that's the third way. Is that right? That's the third way that you're actually making your passive income.
Yeah.
What other ways do you have under your sleeves?
Oh, so many, honestly. I mean, how long do we, can we stay on this podcast for? I think another really great, easy way for people to make passive income is just by, maybe you have an extra bedroom or a parking spot. We have a parking spot downstairs, which we just rent out because we don't use it. And that produces a good income for us. So I think if you're looking at getting started with passive investing and not quite sure what to do, think about things that you can rent to people. You know, I actually, this is really random, but I bought this like giant Jenga set. It's like for parties, like a really big Jenga. And, before we bought it, we actually looked on Gumtree and we rented it from this lady who was renting her giant Jenga, and nobody was selling it in the shops because everywhere we looked, the giant Jenga was sold out of Kmart and Target, all these places. So we kind of were forced to rent this lady's giant Jenga. When we eventually got our hands on our own giant Jenga, it was kind of funny because we put it on Gumtree and rented it out. And, there's passive income for you. Like, we rent it out for $20 a day. People just, like, you know, buy it, pick it up, give it back to you in a day or 2 days or something. And it's an easy way to make money.
Yeah, that's such a good idea.
That is so brilliant. I mean,
that's so random.
I'm still in shock. Like, you make passive income out of a giant Jenga.
Honestly, there are so many ways to make money. And the giant Jenga itself, I think it only costs like $50. So we definitely made more money than we actually spent buying it. So I'm sure there are heaps of things like that. If you have tools you don't use, rent it out on Gumtree or something like that.
So it comes to show that actually passive income has, I mean, like, there are a lot of ways to do it. There's not just like one, you know, one set of ways, and you just prove that.
Yeah.
how do you actually find with all these creative ideas, and maybe like what tips and hacks can you give to those that actually want to start a passive income?
Yes. I think just think about what skills you already have. So maybe you're a designer or something like that. Maybe there's something you can do with your design skills. Maybe you can. Something that I noticed people have been doing a lot is on Etsy, they create little thank you cards and birthday cards and things like that, just very simple designs, and then send them off to customers. And if you have some cool design skills, maybe you could create a design for a website like that, and people could purchase your designs. So you would only really need to make the designs once, and then obviously manage the orders and things like that. It all comes down to like, what skills do you have? What things do you have in your life that you could use and potentially make an income from? I think there are so many possibilities and potential.
Yes.
You can do anything.
That is true. That is true.
That's so true. Yeah.
One thing I like is, I'm
not too sure about like how we are trying to get a passive income. I guess for now it's just for investment. But after hearing from what you have just shared, like, to be honest, it's just a matter of trying. Like with all the platforms right now, actually trying is not as costly as you might have think.
Exactly. Right?
Putting up just on eBay and putting it on Gumtree, that doesn't really cost you anything.
Exactly.
And I think it's just a matter of just trying it out and see whether it will work or not. And yeah.
Exactly. No, it's so true. Just give it a go. And if it doesn't work, you haven't really lost anything. At least you tried.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So the key is actually to just start, right? Like to actually to have all the excuses that whatever you have to actually just put it away and just do it. Whatever we think that can potentially work and just execute it.
Yeah.
That's a really wonderful tip.
I think that it's honestly the people that seem to succeed in life are not the ones that make as little mistakes as possible. They're the ones that are kind of trying everything, making lots of mistakes, but learning from them. I think the more things that you try, the more lessons you learn and the better you can get for next time you try something new.
Wow. Preach that. That is
And what about you guys? So you're working on your investment as a passive income source. Any other passive income sources?
We do actually. We actually sell snacks. I'm not sure that you know that in Singapore we have Irvin Snacks.
Yes, I know that. They're the
salted egg fish skin and salted egg potato.
Yeah.
So we actually pretty much literally
we have a stock of it.
Oh wow.
We buy whenever we go back to Singapore, and then we bring it like literally hundreds of packs here, and then we sell it through Facebook.
We have a Facebook group for just selling these Singaporean snacks.
It's called Irvin's
Salted Egg.
Irvin's Salted Egg Sydney. I think that should come up as
that is really smart.
Or Irvin Sydney, something like that.
That's really cool. What a great idea.
So that has been going on for like 2 years for us. It has been giving up considerable amount, I would say. But I think the to actually keep it up is a bit of a time-consuming challenge.
It's
time consuming, because we have to actually deliver it ourselves sometimes, even driving there on a few occasions, and also even having the logistics of actually planning to go back and then
come back
bringing it here.
Usually we go back to Singapore as our holiday. It used to be quite a regular basis. We also have families to come over, friends to come over, so we can actually like request that they can help to bring some stocks over. But just as a good example, even this quarantine, like we're no longer getting any more stocks because we are no longer able to travel. So it is something that I would say harder to sustain because it requires the logistic components of it.
True. There's so many moving parts, right? But that's really smart. Honestly, thanks. I'm sure there are heaps of people that would like that, you know, and buy those things because you can't find it anywhere here. That's awesome.
Yeah, mostly it's also very expensive. So like we actually try to do like your strategy as well. We try to do a bit of promotional strategy with the pricing.
Yeah.
And that seems to work.
Like, it does work. We do bundle of it. We do bundle pricing. Mm. We experiment just a few months ago with the bundle pricing, and it seems to work pretty well for people to buy more with the price that we initially set.
Yeah.
So how we do it is that we used to sell the packet at $25.
Yeah.
A packet. And then, you know, people usually buy in one or two and all that. We're like, okay, let's try to see how we can incentivize them to actually buy more.
Yeah.
So for the first few months, we actually mark up the price to $30. So now the packet costs $30. And now a $25 packet is only when you actually buy five or more.
Yeah, so, that's smart.
So people would want to buy that if they can buy five or more.
Yeah, and exactly.
Just started buying five. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is so much better because if you can actually make a sale for five, you get more profit at the cost of all the time that you spend delivering it, right?
Exactly. So, yeah, that's so true. What a good idea. Pricing really does work.
Yeah, that's so true. I actually want to ask Quinny, what do you wish you actually knew about setting this passive income before you actually started?
I think just that, that's hard. It's a lot more work, I think, you know? Things are a lot more work and you have to be passionate about it. So that's why I think I've started this YouTube channel because it's something that I'm really passionate about. I think the makeup, the eyelashes business, I do like false eyelashes, but I've never really been like big into makeup, had a real passion for it. It was more just a way to earn money. I think that when you do start businesses just because, I can make some money from it, it's hard to keep that motivation and that perseverance 100%. Up. So
yes,
I think that, looking back, I would definitely just say to myself, start something that you actually would do for free and something that you're passionate about. And that's why I started the YouTube channel and that's why I want that to be my focus because I would do it for free and I just really enjoy it. So, and I think you need to enjoy it and be passionate about it in order to have a really good business. So, that's my key takeaway.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That is really good. I got to say, I highly agree with that because something that I would say the reason why it's not sustainable for our Irvine side business as well is that exactly what you just said. We feel like a lot of times when we do this site, when we sell these Irvines, we don't really have passion to sell Irvines.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, sure, the snack is nice, it's just for the money. Like, really, like, to be plain and honest, it's really just so that for the money.
Yeah.
And it's not very, I don't know, it's not very, like, it's not really igniting fulfilling the spark in you. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not fulfilling.
It's not fulfilling, yeah, exactly. So, like, I highly agree, like, to actually find that passion.
Yeah.
Which comes to the $1 million question again. How do people find their passion and all that?
It's actually really interesting because we are talking about passive income. We are talking about money that we can get, but yet for you to reach there is to not think about the income as the starting point.
Exactly.
So that's actually really interesting.
That's an irony, is it?
Yeah, it's the irony. Yeah. Like, okay, you want to get this, but don't think of this when you want to get that, you know?
Yeah.
You really have to really be passionate about it. And that's true. I think that's true for everything, right?
Mm.
Like, you can't really just focus on the end product. You really have to focus on the process its own. And you really have to enjoy that before you get what you think that you want. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think that the people that are the most successful, it's not because they're the best at it or they're just like naturally gifted. It's because they're the most persistent and they're the most passionate about it, you know? They're really determined to keep going. So, yeah, people should find their passions. And I think the world would be such a good place if everyone was just doing what they love, you know?
Yeah, that's 100%. Really a good advice to anyone. That's really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have actually one last question, which is for people that actually has a bit of a dilemma, right? For example, if I want to invest my time setting up this passive income, they will think, you know what? I have an opportunity cost of using that time to actually upskilling myself to actually get a better active income.
Yeah.
You know, when I want to start this YouTube channel or this podcast,
the first thing that came to mind is like, I can use this time to maybe even learn coding, you know, to actually learn something that maybe can land me in a better job as an active income. So I feel like, I mean, obviously there's a trade-off, but like how do you like weigh that? How do you weigh that benefit?
That's so true. That's very true. I've thought about that before as well. And so that's a really good question. I think that, well, I've got this little diagram I can show you later, but basically it's about how you can find your dream job. And it's where, so there's like a circle and it's like, wait, I need to find this so I can.
Is it Ikigai?
It's like a Venn diagram. And it just says like, so it should be your passion, your skills and the market. So I think if you do commit to say maybe a side hustle, that not only are you passionate about it, but it also can help you develop your skills, and it's also can help you develop skills that are necessary in the market. So imagine if you could create a side hustle that would actually make you more employable and actually give you more assets you could use in your full-time job. I think that that would be the perfect side hustle. So then you're not just developing your side hustle skills, you're also developing your job prospect skills. So that's why I try to look at that in my businesses like YouTube, obviously, learning video editing, learning a lot about sound, how to produce great videos, but that also helps me in my marketing job, knowing what things are trending because they're already asking me to do some videos for them and things like that. Nice. So, but then also it's something that I'm passionate about. Like it doesn't feel like work to me having to edit these videos and create videos. So I think, when you're looking for a side hustle, it shouldn't just be fun. It should also be something that can help you develop and get better.
Yeah.
So yeah. What are your thoughts?
No, I actually like that. I highly agree with that. Like, I think, for example, right, I used to think that making this podcast is just record and then share, right? Like, can I learn from that, right?
Yeah.
And then, but yet, I actually learned so much. Like, even the thing that I don't think of is like maybe even how to work with my brother, how to work with a team, right? And setting this up, even how to market, right?
Yeah.
How do you actually market your podcast and
Your people content? You want people to listen to it. Yeah.
Exactly. And even like, asking for collaborations, asking for, writing a business inquiry or like, asking people for help and asking people for collaborations, all these things actually takes into account. And that is about communicating, to people, even communicating your thoughts as well, right? Because we are communicating our thoughts here. So like there's actually a lot of skills and aspect rather than just what meets the eye when we actually see these kind of things. You get what I mean? Like, like for YouTube as well, like I would say a lot of people would assume that it's just recording, the editing, and that's it. Like what's the skill I'm going to learn from that? But there's actually so much. And until you try, then you really never know. So
exactly. It's a lot more work than people think, I think, as well. Like people think it's easy, like, YouTubers make so much money, some of them, but they're just making videos. But until I started making videos, I'm like, whoa, this is hard. So I think any business is hard as well. It's just about what you like as well, what you're happy to do.
Yes. And I think the trick is to be open-minded in a way that to consume like or trying to learn as much as possible in the process of achieving what you want to be, right?
Yeah.
So when you're like doing YouTube, like perhaps try not to just like focus of, oh, I need to get income, or maybe I just need to deliver certain type of content, but also to like, oh, maybe I can learn from the video processing or video editing processing and all that stuff.
So true. I think it's one of those things like you can't focus too much on the money. You have to also focus on the people that you're giving the content to, because you would have no audience, no nothing, if it wasn't for them. So it's always about them first,
Yeah. I agree. Wow. Thanks a lot, Queenie. I think you've sparked so many advice to a lot of people to create a passive income and the different ways to create a passive income. I think that's amazing. Like, I think, to be honest, like for me personally, even after listening to this, I'm already like, oh, maybe I can try out all of the different things. Literally.
Honestly, yes. I'm not joking. Like, you actually sparked a lot of like, oh my God, actually there's so many ideas and things that we can actually try. Like, yeah. So yeah, thank you so much, Queenie.
I'm so glad. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, can you hear me? Yes, okay, good. Yeah, I'm so glad. I've so enjoyed talking to you. I think that it's been such a good experience. You are very smart and definitely doing the right things. I think it's amazing that you are chatting to all of these people, doing cool things, and thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
No, it's our pleasure. No problem. It's really our pleasure. Thank you so much, Queenie. For the audience out there, I hope that you get something from this, and I hope that you guys can also start something passive, like what Queenie have shared with us. And definitely, we are gonna be trying out some of this too. So, if you guys want to follow us on Instagram, it's at @QuarterLifeHack. Is there any way that we can reach out to Queenie actually? What are the like maybe your YouTube page or Instagram?
Yeah. So you can check out my Instagram. It's Invest with Queenie, and also YouTube Invest with Queenie. So yeah, I answer all of my comments. So
She really do. Trust me, she really do.
I really do.
Actually, and her contents are really good. So do check it out.
Oh, yes. Thanks, and you guys too. I'm so looking forward to your YouTube channel. I'll definitely subscribe. Turn the bell notification on. Yeah.
Yeah, we can definitely support each other, especially as a young amateur YouTuber.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Queenie.
Thank you.
And for the audience, thanks for listening. We hope that we'll see you guys next time.